Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. If you look in your bulletin, I was looking in there to see if there's anything. We need to mention. I guess one thing is, next Sunday is our fifth Sunday. And our service will start at 9. Breakfast at 10:30. So, kind of remember that. That's next Sunday. Okay, that's this Sunday. The men's group will be taking care of the service, and so come and enjoy breakfast and church with us. Anything else? Any other
announcement? Monday night, Christmas Eve communion.
Yeah.
Monday night, Christmas Eve communion. It will be a little different. You can see it on the leaderboard out front. We will have communion from 5 to 6. Carols, reading, and candles. Didn't have room to get all of it on the board out front. From 6 to 6:45, and then coming to communion from 6:45 on till as long as we need to be here.
Anyone else? Bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. call to worship this morning is responsive to all these bulletins following along. Shower, O heaven, from above. Let the earth open, that salvation may spring up. And shall bear a son. Open the hymn book to 133.
Concerning Christ's coming into the world. So if you'll give your expression of praise. Back in fifth grade, we called it sentence prayers. Someone else. We know that everyone doesn't have to speak aloud. We can offer our praise, and God knows even our thoughts. But if someone else feel moved or led to express praise and thanksgiving to God this morning. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come with thankful hearts. We come with praise in our hearts and even on our lips. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of Jesus. And Lord, we have put much attention upon him this season. We've tried to, while we are involved in a commercial world, we've tried to remember you. And Lord, we pray that you will accept our remembrances and the honor that we have attempted to bring to you. Father, we pray that you will bless every effort made to bring glory to you. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, your church, and a part of a ministry to this community as well as around the world. Lord, we thank you for this service and this day, and these who have come from far and near. And Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us as we worship, that truly you would be the center of our thoughts, that Jesus would be foremost in our worship service this morning, that we might honor and glorify him and be prepared to go out into the world to be better people ourselves, O Lord, but be witnesses to those who have not come to know you. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now express our faith through the Apostles' Creed, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession is Luke 15, 17, and 18. When he, prodigal son, came to his sisters, he said, "I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." Prayer confession in unison. O holy Lord of hope, in the season of holy anticipation, hear us as we come to you with humble hearts. You created us to feel the deep joy of your presence and to share the wonders of your love. You created us people to prayer, people who discovered you in prayer and grow deeper in our love for your thoughts of prayer. You created us to be people of awe and wonder who looked around our lives and discovered your presence everywhere, bringing light and life to everything. You created us to be all of these. You can become so wrapped up in the struggles of life that we shut you out in your joy. We can become so busy we never pray, let alone discover you in prayer. We can become so focused on this and that we never look up from our lives to discover your majesty all around us. Touch our hearts this morning so that we can become people of joy, prayer, and gratitude who shine in your presence. Of forgiveness. But if we confess our sins to God, he can always be trusted to forgive us and take our sins away.
Pam,
and whoever she has brought with her this morning are invited to come and light the Advent candle and talk to us a bit about it.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder reigns a new and glorious morn. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing heart by His cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise man from the Orient land. Gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise. Let all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the Lord. Then ever, ever praise His power and glory. Evermore proclaim His power and glory evermore proclaim.
Bow with me for prayer. Lord, how can we respond? Your blessings are so many. And Lord, even in the depths of sorrow and sickness, you come through to bless us again and again. Materially, you have blessed us beyond what we need, enough that we might share. And we thank you for that privilege. And Lord, we come today to return a portion, as you have called us to do. And Lord, keep us faithful to be obedient to your request. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, too, and Nikki. We've got three more. And we're divided. We didn't correspond here. Duncan Boyce and Melanie. My mistake. Come on. Nope. I want you to read. Everybody to read. Okay. Volunteer workers sometime, and we get our wires crossed, but we got them all uncrossed this morning. I want you to read right into there. Good to see you, Russ. Russ is the workingest guy I know, and he's off this today.
All right, this one comes from Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David."
I'm picking up at 33. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child of her own age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Our third scripture comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favors rest." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, folks, for helping me cover my mistake. And we got a telephone out in the hallway now, right out of the office door. And one of the things that Sam said about it, we need to cut the phone off during the worship service. And he said that's just one more thing that we have to remember. And when we get here at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or thereabouts, didn't hardly make it this morning, did I? We got this to do and that to do and something else to do, and I think I forgot to turn on one heater for one section of the building. If Sunday school goes there and it's not cool enough, that's my fault. We need a sextant to come around. That's the proper word. To get here about 6 o'clock to turn on the heat, turn on the lights. But I've assumed those responsibilities somewhere along the way, and I forgot that section. And then this morning when we came in, I had called the Duncan boys and asked them to prepare to read this morning. And thank you, Steve, for asking Nikki and Russ. But I forgot to tell Steve that I had found people, but we worked real good, didn't it? And isn't it good to have four young people participating in the service this morning? And one more thing I want to mention. Angie is still with us. No child, right? Angie was up pacing the parking lot yesterday. Her mother was dragging her around, and Angie is anxious to go to the hospital. And so if she gets up and runs, y'all just pray for her, and we'll rejoice with her. Okay. Christmas service, Christmas service, we're talking about Jesus coming to be our Savior. You've heard the passage from Luke. And as actually, why do preachers do what they do? My daughter, who used to say, "I don't listen to your sermons. I just think about something else while you're praying." That's when she was 10 or 11 years old. That was the day that she was mad at me. And now she's saying, "Daddy, could we have a traditional sermon this Sunday concerning Christmas? A traditional Christmas sermon." I said, "Well, there, we've looked at John the Baptist getting ready for Jesus." She says, "Yeah, I know that, but would you read from about Mary and Joseph?" So, actually, the lectionary lesson, and I've tried to follow the lectionary for this Advent season, the lectionary lesson is the passage from Matthew. But we also, to make that, to explain that, I guess we could say, we need to hear, and I guess I was responding to my own child, and she said, we were together Wednesday night, and she said, "Now what's your sermon about? What's your scripture?" And I told her, she said, "Well, you do what I ask you to do every once in a while." And then every once in a while we do that. Okay. Now, is that proper? Others ask for particular sermons, and I've tried to respond in time to them, and I try to be equally fair to my own child. She's heard me preach, well, for 27 years, I guess. And I was sitting up here this morning, I was thinking, for the Sunday before Christmas, unless we had a cantata on that Sunday, I've been in church, been in the pulpit, had a part of the service for 41 years in a pastoral role, as trying to lead a service or be a part of the service. Maybe they won't let me sing in the cantata ever. Sometimes they'll let me read. But we've heard the passage from Luke chapter 1 about the angel coming to Mary and talking to her. We've heard the story from Matthew about the angel coming to Joseph and talking to him. So this is a heavenly moment. This is an angelic moment, if you will. And then we come down to earth in Luke chapter 2 and see that the baby is born and where he's born and kind of how it happened. There's been much talk about the innkeeper. And we've made much ado in our Christmas pageants about the innkeeper. And he really has free rein to act about like he feels free. There's one little line about it. One little short passage about it. And we have really embellished that story, have we not? Playwriters have done that. Our Christmas, we call this one Christmas pageant writers. It was foretold 700 years before it happened. And now over 2,000 years. Somehow a zero got dropped. Now over 2,000 years after the event, the birth of Jesus is still the greatest story ever told. Or at least in my mind and in many people's minds. Hollywood still finds that they can profit from sharing again the story of Jesus. So sometimes we don't like what they say about it or how they portray it. And it may not be in keeping with what the Bible says. It still gets his name circulating again and people talking about it. And if we can talk about Jesus, then we have the opportunity to tell the real story as the Bible says it is. Do you know of any greater story Ben-Hur was a great story. The story of Barabbas was a great story. The story of creation. Well, Jesus was there. So part of Him was there. Or He was there at that part of our human history. The story of World War II, the story of the Civil War, the story of Charlie Wilson. Did you ever hear about Charlie Wilson? You knew Charlie Wilson was? They made a movie about him. The legislature from Texas. Quite a story. But it doesn't compare. And there's some unbelievable parts about our normal beliefs, our normal thinking in the story of Jesus. Seven 700 years before it happened, how did Isaiah know? Was he really talking about Jesus? Jesus fits so many parts of the story. He talks about it in the 7th chapter of his prophecy. He talks about it in the 9th chapter, the 35th chapter, the 53rd chapter. He keeps on talking about Jesus some 700 years before it happened. And now we're still talking about it 2,000 years after the event. I don't believe there's a greater story that's ever been told, a greater event that has ever happened. A virgin conceiving a divine son. She had one writer called him a quiet boyfriend. Never had thought about that, but we don't hear much from Joseph, do we? A very quiet boyfriend, possibly, who listens to angels. Maybe a little strange. An angel talked to me last night. Yeah. Tell me more. Poor shepherds. They got the night shift. Watching over their flocks by night. Eastern kings following a younger star. And a stable of domesticated animals. This was the setting in the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. God. And think about God for a moment. God of creation. God who is and always has been. Where did God come from? He was. He is. He always has been. God. And there God, clothed in a human form, beginning as a baby, and coming into the earth, God in Jesus, a mystery and a miracle. Each gospel writer begins the story in a different way. Mark doesn't even mention the birth. He begins with the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist baptizing, and then Jesus comes before him. Luke tells the story with Mary at the center. John just says the word, which we know to be Jesus. The word, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Goes on to say, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew. Look at Matthew. Matthew tells a remarkable story of an angel coming to Joseph in a dream and telling him about his girlfriend. And it was a relationship a little more than a girlfriend in our day, but we might understand the girlfriend. A girlfriend, his girlfriend, about to have a child. And tell him what the name of the child. And how he's going to be the fulfillment of a prophecy. When did the message come to Joseph? He came at night. One college professor, Bible scholar, said that he came at night, and this was the time when Matthew's guards were all down. He was relaxed. Walter Brueggemann said that the whole message came while he was relaxed and his guard was down. The angel told him, though, don't be afraid. So he must have shown some fear. For the child in her is from the Holy Spirit. What would you fellows think if an angel told you that? One night. A dream about an angel. A baby on the way. Not his baby. A God message. A message sent from heaven. A baby coming not in human terms. A message outside the normal. We don't have to worry when church doesn't fit the normal, do we? If the world is the normal, it's abnormal, above normal. And Brueggemann suggests that we not try to explain this event, we not try to explain this passage, but that we just be dazzled by it. And that may be a great suggestion, that we stand back in wonder and in awe and not try to figure it all out. But I don't believe we ever will. It just doesn't fit in our world. Something happened beyond our understanding. Jesus, a baby, a wonder, a gift designed to make us move beyond ourselves. So with this Christmas story, it might be best just to say, I don't understand it, but let's just celebrate the birth of a Savior. The baby, Jesus, had no earthly father. Matthew, in the first part, gives us a genealogy all the way back to Abraham. And then he gets down to Joseph. And then he says, but Joseph's not really the father. It was a scandal. And Joseph was all mixed up in it. But there's a more important fact than Joseph and how he would explain the scandal. This was God coming to earth. This was Jesus being from the Holy Spirit. This was a gift of God. God's Spirit. God was His Father. This is not the first time we've encountered God's Spirit. We see God's Spirit in Genesis 1. The creation of the world. That's as abnormal as the baby being born to a virgin, is it not? God spoke and the world came into existence. God took a little clay or a little dust in His hand and mixed it with the moisture, water, a liquid. Here came a man. God took a man's rib and formed a woman. God's Spirit. A new heaven, a new earth. People. In Exodus, we see God's Spirit at work. One place is where the wind of God blows back the waters and let our ancestors escape from the slavery that they had lived in, or their ancestors had lived in, for some 400 years. God's Spirit called the prophet. I think of Isaiah as he went into the temple. I think of Jeremiah as he was called, even when he was a young man, and tried to argue with God about his youth. God calling the apostles, and God calling the martyrs. Some even in our day. And look at the book of Acts, we see the Spirit at work in the world. Start with the second chapter of that great Pentecostal experience, that day of Pentecost, where Peter was preaching. The Spirit came upon them, and people could hear the truth of God from the Apostle Peter in their own language. And read on in the book of Acts. The people that were created into a, they were made into a community. And then God's Spirit coming to us. God's Spirit coming to us to teach us, to convict us, to convert us, to sustain us, to be with us, to abide with us. You may have noticed there were two names for the baby. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is another word for saved. The Hebrew word for saved. And if you do a little study, you can learn that there were other babies who had been named, say, Joshua. That's another name, or another way to pronounce Jesus. I believe I read that Jesus might be Greek, Joshua being the Hebrew name. A baby named Saul. Joshua had saved the people, in a sense. But Jesus came to save us for eternity. How does He save us? The Scriptures say He will save us from sin and from guilt. Joshua just led them and they were saved from their enemies. Go back to Jericho, go back to Ai. Those towns that he led them, Joshua did, to fight. But Jesus comes to save us from sin and from guilt. Jesus saves us from death and destruction, from perishing, if you will. Jesus saves us from despair and hopelessness when we will allow Him to. And Jesus saves us from poverty and sickness and hunger. Jesus made work through the church to help people out of poverty. But I used the illustration again this week. In 40 plus years, 40 plus years, I cannot remember a family coming to the church for assistance who were actively involved in the Lord's work except when there was some great tragedy in their life. You know, a terrible sickness. And usually they waited for the church to find them when that happened. Somehow I found that God blesses His people with material blessings. God does heal us from sickness or enable us to bear with the sickness. And He sends the church to help relieve the hunger. Jesus came to save. That was His name, Save. A baby name, Save. And then Emmanuel, the second name that we find is, the prophet said we call His name Emmanuel. And the scripture explains that. That means God with us. We don't have to go somewhere else to find out what that word means. In Jesus, God was present, making all things new. The New Testament. All of us have access to one or two or five. In the New Testament, where Jesus revealed God. No, Jesus was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not only did He reveal God, He was God. The New Testament, where people were in need, Jesus showed up. In the New Testament, we find where people were lost. He came to save them. Where they were leprous, He came to cleanse them. Where they were deaf, He came to give them hearing. Where they were blind, He brought them sight. Where they were lame, He enabled them to walk. Where they were hunger, He brought them food. Where they were unclean, He made them clean. Even where they were dead, He raised to new life. Jesus, His presence, makes new life possible. Have you invited this Jesus, this baby, this Savior, into your life to save you? Scriptures say that He wants to be in us. Turn, if you will, to 147. It may not be a great invitation hymn, but it's a great Christmas carol. And I believe it gives the message that we would need this hour, these moments. Stand together and sing all three verses of 147, if you will. Maybe your response this morning is a public response. If that be true, please make it. Respond publicly as God is urging you to do. Thank you. Lord God, send us forth trusting in, rejoicing in, and sharing Jesus, the one who saved. Hi, lady. How you doing? You got a bidding from that dress.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. But you folks okay? I have talked to them. I drive out of halfway. I'll stop next week. Tell I ask about them. All right, okay.
Wish I had
known that. Bang, bang, bang. I can call one night. Great day. Yeah. I saw Bill. I saw her yesterday. Are you going to work? Y'all doing something tomorrow? Okay. I have some facts. I thought you might need some facts. I'll say it. Right. Well, I'm even going to be helping tomorrow.
Amen.